In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. If you are one of those who has said, "I'll believe in Jesus when pigs fly," then today is your lucky day. Or at least the commemoration of your lucky day, because nearly 2,000 years ago, pigs did fly, however briefly, from the cliff top to the sea, carrying in them those demons that Jesus had recently escorted out of the grateful man. The idea of demons is distant to us as enlightened Westerners. Most of what we think we know about demons comes from the movie theaters. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. The devils themselves are equally pleased by either error and hail a materialist and a magician with the same delight." To borrow Lewis's categories, a magician would be comfortable saying, "The devil made me do it," while a materialist would say, "My genetics made me do it." Our culture would, of course, scoff at the former, but by no means the latter. There's a song popular amongst young people, of which I'm not one, neither young nor a fan of the song. It's called "Same Love," and it's become an anthem, if you will, for same-sex attraction and so-called same-sex marriage. Here are the lyrics I want you to think about. "The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision, and you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition. Playing God, ah, nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. And God loves all his children is somehow forgotten. But we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago, I don't know. And I can't change, even if I tried, even if I wanted to. And I can't change, even if I tried, even if I wanted to." Well, fans of this song, "Same Love" and homosexuality, might be surprised to learn that that book, written 3,500 years ago, actually teaches that from birth, we are indeed predisposed, spiritually and genetically, to be contrary to that which God has made us to be. God loves his children, that's true, but from birth, we are no longer the children of God, but we are children of Adam and Eve, spiritually and genetically predisposed to act against God and how God has ordered his creation. And this all because Adam and Eve listened to the devil rather than to God. So whatever it is that you're guilty of, there's at least a grain of truth in saying the devil made you do it and your genetics did too. But God's love for human beings is such that he does not want you to remain sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, led by demons, enslaved by your fallen genetics. Instead, God wants to make you his child once again. In Christ Jesus, God has come to set you free. Free from the oppression of demons, free from the genetics of sin and death. Whereas the song "Same Love" says, "I can't change, even if I wanted to," St. Paul says, "I can't change, even though I want to." Paul writes, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law of God that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Paul concludes by saying, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And he gives us the answer. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The song, Same Love, embraces sin and teaches us to self-actualize into it. Through St. Paul, God teaches us to reject sin, and he teaches us to cry out to him for mercy. The song Same Love teaches us to be at peace with sin and at war with the one true God. The Holy Scriptures teach that God has made peace with us, and we are now free to war with the sin that still lives within. So there really are only these two ways: war against the true God, or war against yourself. To crucify Christ Jesus, or to crucify yourself. And this then is what the resurrection of Jesus is all about. Our Lord Jesus has given us the victory over sin, the victory over these bodies of death, in this way: that in faith we follow Jesus into death. And what dies is only that part of us that is led by the demons and enslaved by the genetics of sin and death. But you as you truly are, you as a believer in Christ Jesus, as a son of God or a daughter of God, you do not die at all. In death, only the old you dies, and all your slaveries and all your sinful dispositions die, but you do not. This is what our Lord Jesus himself says: whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So here is a question worth considering. What have you to do with us, man of the Gerasenes, filled with demons, naked and wild, and living amongst the tombs? And the answer to that question is more than we think. God willing, you'll never know what it is to be possessed by demons like that poor man was, but you certainly know what it is to be possessed by sin, to be possessed by your own flesh, by your own genetics, by how you are as a fallen creature. God willing, no demon will force you to make your home in the cemetery. But you certainly know how often you've thought of this world as your home, when in fact this world is little more than a cemetery. Each generation comes to visit, and each generation falls in. God willing, no legion of demons will ever take you out of your right mind. And yet, you know very well the insanity of sin, don't you? To sin against the God who you know exists, the one to whom you must give an account. God willing, no demons have stripped you of your clothing. But you've done that yourself in the madness of lust, be it heterosexual or homosexual, be it the crassest of forms or the most subtle. Luke tells us that no chains could hold that demon-possessed man or keep him from the evil and harm that he would do. And so too, God has tried to restrain you from the evil and harm that you would do. But countless times you've broken through the chains of his holy law, wreaking havoc upon yourself and those around you. We may indeed pity that poor demon-possessed man, but not from a safe, self-righteous distance. We may pity him, but we too must bow our heads and cry out to God for mercy, that he too would set us free. It's a strange thing, but it seems that Jesus had gone into the country of the Gerasenes for one reason, or rather, for one person. Barely out of the boat, Jesus was met with the unclean man, infested with unclean spirits, whose home was unclean tombs. Nearby was a herd of unclean pigs. This man was about as unclean as a person can get. What does Jesus do? Does he point his holy finger and drive that unclean man away? No, Jesus had come to that far-off land just for him. And no sooner does Jesus cleanse that man, and he departs. So too, Jesus has come just for you. Do you believe this? Those words, "for you," Luther says, require each heart to believe. Jesus has come for you. You, in all your uncleanness, you as you are. Jesus has come to set you free and to make you personally into a child of God. He does not come to condemn you. He comes to give you life. Life such that you will never die, only the evil within you. Jesus took those demons from that man and put them into pigs. Jesus takes your sins from you and puts them in himself. The pigs carry those demons into death in the sea. Jesus carries your sins into death on the cross. He is the Lamb of God, the scriptures say, because he is pure and unblemished in himself, but he comes to bear your sins. Whatever filth, whatever guilt, whatever uncleanness is in you has been taken away from you. The scriptures say God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so it is that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be called the righteous ones of God. And that is who you are. You have been declared so by God. You are righteous in his sight. The demons went into the pigs, the pigs went into the water. So too, in the waters of holy baptism, God takes all sin in you which has been inherited from Adam, and which you have committed since. And in that baptismal font, he makes all your sins drown and die, so that through baptism, he sets you free. Through baptism, he gives you a right mind. Through baptism, he gives you birth from above, birth of water and spirit, so that you might forever be his own dear child. Think about it. Whenever that man whom Jesus freed looked out upon the waters of the lake nearby, he would be reminded of Jesus and what Jesus had done for him. And so too, when you come into this sanctuary and look upon the waters of the baptismal font, you are reminded of Jesus and all that he has done for you. And what Jesus said to the man is also fitting for us. "Return to your home," he said, "and declare how much God has done for you." The man went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.